first met. On this day in, 1968, country musician Johnny Cash recorded a live concert at Folsom Prison in California. And on this day in 1978, former Vice President Hubert H. Humphrey died in Minnesota at age 66. Those are some of the events that have taken place on this day in history. The weather for Wausau today, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 30. Tonight, patchy fog after 9 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, with a low around 21. Thursday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 33. Currently in Wausau, with fog and mist, it is 16 degrees above zero. The wind chill is 9 above zero at 8:59. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. Today we continue and actually conclude our study in 2 Thessalonians. We are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We pick it up in verse 13. But first, the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We pick it up in verse 13, which reads, the Apostle Paul, again, writing to Christians, he says, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. Sanctification, which is holiness, sanctification and faith are both involved in the salvation of a soul. No, that doesn't mean you work your way to heaven. It doesn't mean that you have to be at a certain level of holiness before God lets you into heaven. That would be salvation by works, and the Bible doesn't teach that. Sanctification and faith are both involved in the salvation of a soul in this way. We believe that Jesus Christ died in payment for our sins on the cross. That's the faith part. We believe that. And we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then the Holy Spirit begins to make us more like Christ. That's the sanctification part. And it happens in the life of every true Christian. The Holy Spirit works in us to make us in practice what we already are in position because we are in Christ Jesus, and that is perfectly holy. Verse 13, actually verse 14. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel refers to God's plan to save souls from hell through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Did you ever hear anybody talk about the gospel? Now, there are the four gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are known as the four gospels. They have four written accounts of the life of Christ. But the gospel, in another sense, is the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's what is being referred to here. He called you to this, to what? Salvation. Being saved from hell. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, again, refers to God's plan to save souls from hell through faith in Jesus Christ. And God wants his people to spread the gospel so that he can save people. That's how it's done, you see. You don't have to be a salesperson. You don't get people to receive Christ by giving them a sales pitch. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Souls are not saved by trickery, by slick talk, or by persuasive arguments. They are saved by the gospel, by the message itself. When it burns in the heart of the hearers, when they believe it, and they receive Christ as a result. Verse 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. You know, it doesn't matter if you read the word of God or hear the word of God. It doesn't matter. But do one or the other so that you know what God wants you to live, so that you know how God wants you to live and what he wants you to believe. And once you know these things, then go after it and don't back down for anything. 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. The good thing about the hope Christians have in Christ is that it is a sure deal. You know, when you think of hope, you might think of, well, I hope so. I hope it's true. That's not what this is talking about. The hope that Christians have in Jesus Christ is a sure hope. We don't hope that by some chance we may make it to heaven if we're fortunate enough. That's not what it's talking about. Our hope in Christ is a firm, sure, unchangeable hope. We belong to Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. It's a sure deal. 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. We need spiritual strength to talk the way God wants us to talk and to act the way God wants us to act. We need God's strength because many things from inside of us and also from outside of us threaten to pull us away from how God wants us to behave. Prayer helps to keep us in line. Verse 3, finally, brothers, pray for us. Chapter 3, I should say, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. The message of salvation through faith in Christ must spread rapidly. And it is the duty of every single Christian to help spread it in some way. Pray for it to spread. Give offerings so preachers can spend their time studying and teaching and spreading it, because that's what God has given them the gift to do. Or spread it yourself, you know. And better yet, do all three. Souls are at stake. And the message of Christ is their only hope. They need Jesus. Verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith. Well, you know, you can bet that if a preacher is getting out the word of God and it's going out clearly, you can bet that Satan will oppose that preacher. He will do whatever he can do to stop that man from preaching the word of God, to stop him from being effective. It's going to happen. And that's what Paul was facing. He was facing opposition because he was giving out the word of God. The devil didn't like it. And he was doing everything he possibly could to oppose him and to stop that word from going forth. And he talks about these people as being wicked and evil. You know, if a person doesn't believe the gospel of salvation through Christ alone, they are in big eternal trouble as it stands right now. If they oppose the gospel message and seek to hinder its spread, God refers to them as wicked and evil. And really, what else would you call them? If the message of salvation through Jesus Christ, repentance, and receiving him as Lord and Savior, if that is the only message that can save a soul from hell, as Jesus says it is, and it is, if that's the case, then what in the world would you call people who would oppose that message? Wicked and evil. That's for sure. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful. You can count on God. You can count on him to do what he says he will do in his word. You can count on his word being true, both the promises and the warnings. And you can count on this. The devil is stronger than even the strongest Christian. But Jesus is infinitely stronger than Satan. And so if we live for the Lord Jesus Christ and we keep our sins confessed, then we put ourselves in a position where Jesus Christ can be our protector. Verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Christians are not saved by the law, but Christians have commands to obey. Specifically, too, boils down to this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? A real Christian wants to obey God. They want to do what is right, even though we sometimes fail. And if it wasn't for Christ living in us, we wouldn't even have the want to. It's Jesus who gives us the want to. Verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. It is essential that we let God direct our hearts. In other words, that we let God, as Christians, direct our minds. In other words, our thinking. Spiritual victory begins with proper thoughts. It begins with holiness thoughts. So, fill your mind with the Word of God, so that his directions will be the natural flow of your thinking. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible also says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So our thoughts are very important that we let God direct our thoughts. Verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you have received from us. A warning to any professing Christian. If a professing Christian lives in sin, God says, don't hang out with him. Don't treat him as if it's business as usual. That sinning Christian is misrepresenting Jesus Christ. And we, as fellow Christians, hurt the cause of Christ even more by our attitude if we seem to approve of his sinful lifestyle. And we don't want to do that to the the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Stop right there for a second. Paul was not afraid to say, follow my example. Because he went all out for Christ. And you know what? If a man of God doesn't live the Bible that he teaches, then he is a poor example and a pitiful excuse for a preacher. If a man isn't willing to go all out for Jesus Christ, then he ought to stay out of the pulpit. Last part of verse 7. We were not idle when we were with you. That's the example that he tells other Christians to follow. We were not idle. He says in verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. A Christian should not be lazy, sponging off of others. I think hard work is something that most people see as an honorable thing. And so it is the duty of every Christian to be a hard worker, as productive as they can possibly be in one way or another. Verse 9. We did this, not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. So he went the extra mile, above and beyond what would be expected. That was the Apostle Paul, because he was sold out to Jesus Christ. He did more than what would be expected of him, but he did it for the Lord. You know, if all we Christians are willing to do is just enough to get by, then there is something wrong. Christians are supposed to be on a mission of love for Jesus Christ. That means we should be willing to go beyond what might be expected and instead sacrifice to do what is right and what is helpful. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. If an able-bodied person refuses to earn their keep, then God is saying, don't give that person a handout. It is a terrible reflection on Jesus Christ for a Christian to be lazy. Of course, if somebody needs help, help them. But if somebody is too lazy to work, God says, let them get hungry. Hunger is a very good motivator, isn't it? A man with an empty belly will get to work. They'll work at a job, even if he happens to think that it's beneath his dignity. A lot of people won't take a job that they think is beneath their dignity. Let me tell you something. No job is beneath the dignity of anyone who has sinned against a holy God. What dignity is there? And that's all of us. And by the way, all good, honest work is honorable. Verse 11, we hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. If someone has time to meddle in the affairs of others, then they have too much time on their hands. If they kept themselves busy doing constructive things, they wouldn't have the time, the energy, or the interest in sticking their nose where it doesn't belong. And by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but meddling is a sin. Do you know that? A lot of times Christians don't think of it as a sin. Busybody, talking about others, gossiping, it's a sin. We're to focus on Jesus and follow him and not be nosy about what others are doing. Verse 12. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. So God tells busybodies to get to work. God tells lazy people to get to work. We're supposed to earn our food. We're supposed to work for what we need. Christians especially need to be hard workers. Verse 13. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. You know, it's okay to get tired doing what is right. Just don't ever get tired of doing what is right. In other words, never say, as a Christian, I've had it with being good. It's just not worth it. I'm not going to do it anymore. That's a dangerous sign if a Christian starts thinking in those ways. They're in trouble. 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. In other words, God's word must be taken seriously. If a Christian willfully disregards what the Lord says in his word, then they need to be cut off from Christian fellowship. I mean, this is a serious issue. Because unless one is confronted in some way about their disobedience, they're just going to feel free to continue in their disobedience. So he says, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. A sinning Christian should feel ashamed. If they do not, then they've become spiritually dull. And they need to be instructed from Scripture. 15. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. He's saying, don't hate a Christian who isn't living right. Be concerned about them. If a genuine concern about their spiritual welfare doesn't motivate how we treat a rebellious Christian, then we're in rebellion as well. We should be just as turned off by our sin as we are by theirs, if our attitude is wrong toward them. 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Something is wrong in the life of a Christian who doesn't have peace on the inside. They are either doing wrong or they are not trusting God, even as they attempt to do what is right. If we lack peace, then we should examine our life in light of Scripture and get rid of anything that contradicts the Word of God. Do what is right and trust that God is leading. Trust God for the results. Verse 17, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. So this epistle is the real deal, written by the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the word of God. Paul authenticates it. 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And just a reminder of what God's grace is. God's grace is God being good to us when we don't deserve it. And we have a whole lot of God's grace through Jesus Christ. We don't deserve to be forgiven. But through Jesus Christ, God is good to us and he forgives us. We don't deserve to go to heaven. None of us do. But through Jesus Christ, God is good to us. If we belong to him, we go to heaven. God is very good to us. He sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. If you have never repented of your sin and asked him to be your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do that today. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have any questions for me, you can write me. If you have any comments for me, you can write me as well. You can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau 54402-2211. If you would rather email me, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want more of the Word of God, you can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website and study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries. That web address is meurett.org. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett.org. And if you're looking for a place to worship this Sunday, I invite you to join us. We meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. You're welcome to join us. One thing you will get is the Word of God, verse by verse. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock. And so until tomorrow morning, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.